Happy Snow Day, St. Mark's family. I pray that you will have a relaxing Sunday. Hot chocolate, hot toddies, sleigh riding, reading, napping, UVA basketball game. I just hope that you're enjoying this beautiful respite from the hurriedness of life. And I've prepared some devotion that I will send over as a text and in the audio format, as well as some prayer resources for your Sunday. I look forward to seeing you on Thursday at our Lessons and Carols. And may the blessing of God Almighty be upon each one of you today. And now the gospel of our Lord and Savior according to St. Luke. In the 15th year of the reign of Emperor Tiberius, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, and Herod was ruler of Galilee, and his brother Philip ruler of the region of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Licinius ruler of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. He went into all the region around the Jordan, and proclaiming a baptism of the repentance for the forgiveness of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of the prophet Isaiah, the voice of the one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low. And the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth. In all the flesh shall see the salvation of God. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. This meditation is entitled The Hush of the World and the Gift of God's Voice. In our hurried and hectic lives, we long to hear the voice of God. In our distressed and broken world, we long to hear the voice of God. In our pain and sufferings, we long to hear the voice of God. Amongst the sundry and manifold changes of this world, we long to see and hear God and experience his changelessness. In our lives, we long to see the face of God. These longings and the labor pains are part and parcel to our lives and are magnified during Advent. Since on one hand our eyes are fixed on Christmas, and on the other we remember that there will be another glorious day to come. But we wait and yearn for both Christmas and for Christ's return. We want him to return and once again fill every valley and make every road straight. It is in this tension that we receive the gift of waiting from our church year and God. Now, hold on a second. Normally, waiting is not something that we equate with as a gift or even anything good. After all, who wants to wait? Who wants to even wait at a stop line or wait for their food? The cliche of all good things come to those that wait sounds good every now and then after we've received what we wanted, but no one wants to hear an exhortation or an imperative to wait. Yet, waiting is a gift that has been given to us by our Lord. So why is this true? The truth of waiting is that in the quiet recesses of our minds, in the stillness of our heart, that God has an opportunity to bubble up, to pop out, to reveal himself to us. Our lives are like windstorms. We are on boats that are constantly being battered and pushed around. And this becomes all too true as we get closer to the holidays and the end of the year. And as we're battered and beaten, the quiet becomes a moment of the doldrums. The stillness, in other words, in the vast sea of our lives. Now, if you've ever been on the sea after a major storm, then you know that the colors of the sea tend to explode out of that still water with reflections to either the night sky or the phosphorescence that will grow, or the reflection of the piercing sun in the day. You know that fish tend to rise to the surface to look for supper, and birds rest and bob. In other words, the stillness of the water provides an invitation for reflection and seeing and hearing something that was not there before, but yet was there. The fish were there, they just hadn't had an opportunity to rise to the surface. So too, it is true with God. And this is what John the Baptist is telling us today. The Baptist is a prophet of the highest order. And he's whipping up the storm and speaking to what will come. When he quotes Isaiah in today's gospel, he is answering the question of what comes. It will be the face of the salvation of God. It'll be our salvation, which is the face of God. You know, how do we see these moments in these quiet, in this stillness? Where is the gift, in other words? Well, we see them through grace, scripture, and prayer. Grace. Like many of you, I was captivated this past week by the state funeral for President George Herbert Walker Bush. The image that was told of Secretary of State Jim Baker washing his best friend's feet as he was beginning to slip from this life to the next reflected an opportunity in both peace and quiet of hearing this beautiful funeral service, but also thinking about that moment, which was peace and quiet between two men, best friends, spending those precious time together, is the place that we all find ourselves when we experience the gift of quiet. Because in this quiet, in our stillness, we find Jesus. Because in our waiting, we realize that we're not alone. Rather, the face of God and our salvation has been revealed, and it is Jesus. This is why these stories are so poignant. This is why the experience of being in or around death is so poignant, because it is in those moments that we experience the thin space between this life and the next, and we realize that that space is completely covered by Jesus Christ. The power of those moments, in other words, in funerals, or on a snowy Sunday in your living room, on a quiet walk, or any place of stillness, is that we allow our Lord and Savior Jesus to do the work to hold us, to cry with us, to care for us. We are, after all, not waiting for him to come for the first time, because we know through the Holy Ghost that he is present with us today. And so, like Simeon, a righteous and devout man, when he saw the newborn baby Jesus and he held him, we can all say that famous verses together. Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, for which thou hast prepared before the face of all people. A snow day prayer for you, for me, is that in your quiet and the waiting corners of your life, when all seems still, and that you will hear that small voice of God that claims you as one of his beloved children, who is with you until the end of the age. And when that age comes for you and for me, may we rest in what we read in Job. I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though this body be destroyed, yet shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not as a stranger. He will not be a stranger, because at that point, no matter what's taken place in our moments of waiting in between, we will realize that Jesus has in fact been with us the whole time. God bless you. Much love and peace on this snowy Advent second Sunday. Amen.